Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, welcome at the community session. I would like to ask you if you can stay there for the whole session. That would be nice because we will do facilitate sort of interactive practice at the end in order to digest the whole topic as much as possible. And now I would like to welcome Marilyn Hamilton.
Thank you so much, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 20-minute Amuse-Gueule for Integral City. For those of you who don't know what Amuse-Gueule is, it is a taste test. I have written now three books of Integral City. The first one is about evolutionary intelligences for the human hive. The second one, which I will be signing at the bookshop at lunchtime, is Inquiry and Action, Designing Impact for the Human Hive. And so instead of trying to give you a tsunami or give you a situation where you're drinking from fire hoses, I am going to give you some samplings of the processes and the frameworks that we use to think about the integral city. So what I'd like to ask you to do to start with is get comfortable in your chairs, because I'm going to give us a guided meditation. The guided meditation is something that I often give people to help them find their place in the city. So, if you're comfortable. No, this is okay, thank you. So, get comfortable in your chairs. And if you feel comfortable to close your eyes, do so. Otherwise, a soft gaze. Let us start waking up the human hive in the deepest part of ourselves. Soften your focus or close your eyes and get present in this room. Take a deep breath and clear away as much of your mental chatter as you can. Find yourself in your body. Feel the sensation of sitting in your chair. Look for and find the center of your being. When you feel centered, look around with a soft gaze or in your mind's eye. Who else is here? Recognize this is a nested group within the larger collective of others, other people, other groups, so many at this conference. Notice what you notice and let it go. See if you can connect with everyone in the room by noticing them. Now see if you sense the center of this collective of individuals. Does it have a location in the room? Just notice what you notice quietly. And let it go. Now bring your awareness to the room. Sense into the boundaries created by the walls, the door, the ceiling. Then expand your awareness to the building itself. See the room inside of the building. Then imagine the building as it sits in its streetscape, in its landscape. Now practice expanding your awareness to Siafok, the city we're in. Imagine the street as it rises from the land within boundaries which contain the human habitat called Siafok. Now it's time to pull your awareness even higher, imagining this city as part of the region of Lake Balaton, and this region as part of the ecoregion, and the ecoregion as a node in the network of ecoregions across the planet, where villages, towns, and cities create hubs of human habitats in every nation on 6 continents. Be aware that group includes Integral City practitioners who are present with us and working the space from nodes in other places, in Vancouver, in Victoria, in Seattle, in Amsterdam, in Moscow. Today, we serve the spirit of a planet of cities as potential from each of these cities, calling forth what is by giving voice to the nested places where we are embedded, by interacting with others who are in this room with us, by caring about the experience we each have as we play with awareness of self, others, place, and planet, by resting in the care of the planet as she cares for us. When you are ready, take a deep breath and become conscious once again of the room we are in. Open your eyes and look around at the beings in our human hive. Good morning again. I feel that we found our center of the city in this room. Do you feel the same? Yeah. So that, I hope, is our first delectable taste of how the city actually is a very important living system, a human system, that I think is the most complex human system that we have created yet on Earth. After this experience of our spiritual connection with the city, let me give you a dose of science. About 10 years ago, I was driving to the airport in Vancouver. I was going to a conference similar to this. I had all my PowerPoints all ready and everything. And I heard an interview with James Lovelock. James Lovelock, anybody know who that is? He is the author of the Gaia Hypothesis. And he was being interviewed by a little, kind of a Canadian snooty interviewer who said, after hearing about all of the difficulties that humans has caused for the Earth, I guess you don't have a very powerful or important or a caring opinion of humans. And he says, on the contrary, he says, humans are Gaia's reflective organ. Humans are Gaia's reflective organ. I just about drove off the road. I had to pull over. And I took the notes down, and I went and changed my PowerPoint slides. Because it gave me, all of a sudden, not just the interest I had with the city as the largest or most complex human system that we have, but that we actually have a role in the evolution of our planet. And that is a message I would like you to take away for yourselves today. We are not enemies of evolution. We are part of the process of evolution. And Gaia is looking forward to us to finally waking up so that we can be her reflective organ. Last week, I was in Findhorn at another conference. Some of you know that I have moved my whole endeavor to Findhorn in Scotland. And we were looking at subtle realms. And there I got another insight that the organ is not just one of reflection from the mind, but it is from the reflection of the heart. So I think our organ for service to Gaia is a reflection of the mind-heart. Some of you may have noticed that the subtitles of my books also borrow from biomimicry. So I'm thinking of the city as not only a human system, but a complex, adaptive, living system, and I call it the human hive. So the human hive is borrowed from the biomimicry of what I've learned from the beehives. Bless you. So thinking about our complex adaptive living system in service to what I actually thought I heard Lalu say this morning, in service to a much higher cause, which is that we are not only creating the cities to serve ourselves, but there is a real role for all of our cities to play for the Earth. End of a little snippet of the science. If you want more science, book number one, The Evolutionary Intelligences of the Human Hive, and you all have a copy handed out that identify those intelligences. When I wrote that book, the spirit that came through me, I agree again with what Lalu said, it seized me and said, I want you to write this. I looked for the science behind every one of those 12 intelligences. So I also, though, am a very practical person. And I thought when I finished that book, well, if this is true, it better work out there. Let's start using it in the city. So I had spent 20 years or so in the small city in British Columbia where I lived, Abbotsford. And I started to experiment with each of the intelligences and do a lot of field work. And then I got a call from, of all places, Oklahoma in the United States, a very small city called Durant. And I learned since that Durant is actually, or Oklahoma is actually, the birth state of both Ken Wilber and Don Beck. Go figure. There's something in the water there. And so the story of Imagine Durant is what I want to just give you a little taste test again of how we've taken these ideas and how they themselves have put them into effect. The story of Imagine Durant started with two leaders. They called me there to see if what they were learning from leadership and organizational development and community development could be taken to the city. And they had actually bought my book and read it, which I was pretty impressed with. When I went there, I did due diligence. We established through a dialogic process that, in fact, there was energy in the city, not just for them, but for others to participate. So they formed a group, a not-for-profit organization, called Imagine Durant. So what they set out to do was what I call place caring and place making. The place caring that they needed most was to figure out what is our vision of the city? What is it that we share as our greatest desires for the future of the city? And how are we going to take that intention and translate it into a placemaking action and strategic plan? So they called together what I call the four voices of the city. They started to look using the AQUAL, or quality of life, and interviews and the research methods that I've given them, to discover their 12 intelligences, how alive they were. And they also assembled what I requested of them from the very first dialogue, and that is to bring the four voices of the city together. The four voices of the city, which I have on the next slide, so I'll give those to you so you can see that, actually come from the work of a man named Bloom, Howard Bloom wrote a book called The Global Brain. And in that book, he decided that he would describe the people he was now working with after being an impresario for one of the 60s rock and roll bands. He said, I'm noticing that people act an awful lot like the bees that I'm very familiar with as an entomologist, which is what he originally was. And he basically came up with the proposition that there were four different roles that are played in the beehive, and I have taken those roles and translated them into roles of the city. He called the citizens of the city the conformity enforcers or the producers of the hive, the ones that are basically foraging. He called the diversity, the business innovators, diversity generators. He called the resource allocators I call civic managers, and what he called integrators I call civil society. These four voices in the city are really important as far as all the work that I've done to bring together representing the whole system. When you have the whole system in the room, then it's possible that you can make decisions that are going to last a long time. I can't show you all the slides that I have for Durant, but we started doing what I would call value creation, and then after 4 years, they've now moved into value realizing through taking their vision and actually now implementing the strategies that will make it actually come into effect. The people who were involved in doing that always were the four voices. We brought them together in a series of dialogues with different themes. And over the 4 years, I want to tell you we went through three city managers and three mayors. And the reason it's still in effect, because we didn't depend on just City Hall. We depended on the four voices of the city, and we actually kept bringing them together in the various dialogues that we assembled. You can see that I have way more slides than I could possibly talk to, so I'm cherry-picking them, and I apologize if I'm going to give you mind whiz as we go through them, not to mention the light show that we're getting in addition to it. So it's been interesting to me in working with Durant because there's several principles that I use in bringing the four voices together, and that is when I go into a city, I look for the energy, and then I follow it. So it doesn't matter to me if City Hall is the one that calls me in. It could be a group of citizens. It could be a not-for-profit organization. It could be, as in the case of Durant, even business. My goodness, they could even call in a way to look at the city that actually had the place caring and the placemaking combined. So long story short, Durant has been able to grow up and actually is now working on implementing the strategies. Since I started working with Durant, others, I'm going to, go through these slides until what you're going to see is a few of the methodologies we used to collect data. Told you about the three rounds. We actually moved our dialogues all around Durant, so we were not only attracting four voices, but we were moving from high school to the casino to the food bank to all different locations for the 12 different dialogues that we held over the 4 years. They also scribed everything themselves, so they wrote their own story. Since Durant, we actually have also, I'll pause on this slide. When they came up with their vision, they had three intersecting areas that you might notice in the Venn diagram really relate very strongly to the ACWAL model. Learning and growing as citizens, healthy and connected culture, and vibrant and thriving community. And in the center was care. And this was something they discovered for themselves. And then when they looked at that, they looked at me and said, oh my goodness, Marilyn, we've come up with a vision that reflects the master code that you have taught us is really important. So another core piece of learning that I have taken from working with and living with and learning from cities is that the care that we've talked a lot about in this conference starts with ourselves. We must care for ourselves so that we can care for others. Together we can care for our places, and all together we can care for the planet. And this is the first time in history that we can realize the decisions that we make in our cities are impacting not just individuals and the we spaces, the eyes and the groups, but also the places we live in and the planet as a whole. I have just come back in the last couple of months from teaching in Russia. So I take you from this small city in Oklahoma to Russia. The translator for book number one is here, Eugene Pustoshkin. And because he translated that book, Russia is now, they don't call it integral cities, the best translation for them is living cities. They are creating the intention to change 1,000 cities by 2030. So this is an inspiration that they take because one man, Eugene, said, I'm going to do a favor for my friend in Ishevsk who wants to change the city. I'm going to give him the best integral book that I can give him, translated it. And I thought, when I heard this ambition, that's pretty ambitious. But in November, they actually invited me to speak to 311 mayors of their monocities in one conference. And I looked at Lev Gordon, who was my impresario and the financier of the translation, and I said, that is one-third of your intentions. It's quite possible that we can pull this off. So that brings me, unfortunately, to the conclusion of my amuse-gueule. I will leave you with a little bit of a dessert, and the dessert will be this quote, thanks to a little bit of variation from Rumi. Out beyond the smart city, out beyond the resilient city, lies the integral city. There is a field. We call it the knowing field. We will meet you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn, for a wonderful presentation. And now we'll have a short time for questions and answers for the Marilyn. So, any questions?
Did you manage to get
them? Okay. We need to record it, so please always wait for the microphone.
Did you manage to get beyond the political diversities or divisions in your work so far?
I would say I don't get beyond them. I invite them in.
But they get in then?
Oh, yeah, they get in. So some of them may consider themselves citizens. Generally, they always are in some way. Some of them might be policymakers. Others might be thought leaders. I had one group in Abbotsford say, oh, you're starting a new political party. What are you trying to do? Grumble, grumble, grumble. And I said, you sound like a thought leader. Why don't you come to our next dialogue? So I converted them into a supporter instead of somebody who was trying to, you know, cause difficulties from the side.
You mentioned that you look for the energy. And I was wondering, how do you find it, or what guides you?
That's a great question. And any of you who work with Margaret Wheatley's work, that's where I learned that precept, is find the energy, and it's usually somebody knocks on the door, calls you up on the phone, and then I say, who else should be there? And they will have a group of friends. And by starting with the energy, you're not trying to make it yourself. You try to amplify the field. So if you look for the energy, you find it. And then the next question always is, who else should be here? Yeah. There was a question here.
It seems that it would be hard to start with an idea going to the city council, because it's kind of like out of the blue. So what other people in a city community could be an advocate before going and taking something to a city council?
That's a great question. So for a number of years, we worked with an Imagine Abbotsford group. And what we did was, when we finished our 4 years of looking for the vision of the city, we actually noticed that the council was advised by 3 different groups. One was the environment, one was business, and one was the social organizations in the city. So we went to each of those committees and made a presentation to them in different spiral language, by the way. And then we got their support to take it to the council. So we did some homework before we got there.
Was social also education in there?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes.
Can you speak to the possible role of digital nomads or individuals that move often between cities and the role that they might play in the emerging meshwork of integral cities?
So this is an interesting question because, like Lalu, I believe every city has a purpose. So just coming up with the vision, if they had just come up with a strategic vision, I would have felt like we hadn't quite finished the work in Durand. But you notice that they had care as their driving value. I do actually think that caring is what they're going to contribute to Gaia at this point. So when I'm looking for digital nomads, then I think that over time, maybe quicker than I would imagine at this point, they will be cross-pollinating between cities or between groups of cities. And so the digital universe I don't see as being separate from the physical cities, but another way of our human hive mind emerging, so that it's actually happening in ways that some of the research on the beehives couldn't have anticipated, but it's happening now.
Okay, thank you very much.